Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Well, we're about to break new ground. So welcome not only if you're a podcast listener, but also if you're one of our army of fans, I think that's fair to say, army of fans, who are definitely going to be watching on Facebook Live right now. Hello.
Hello.
Do you want to say hello?
Hello.
Yeah, you can see that we're in the dungeon and all the rest of it. So this is the first ever podcast to go out directly on Facebook Live. Is that exciting, Phil?
It's very exciting. We did play around with Periscope for a little while.
Oh yeah, that
was ages ago.
That was absolutely garbage. Absolutely garbage. Now, you'll notice that we are a man down today. Not the man we expected to be down, but we are a man down. It's only you and I, so let's get our hands in. Pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself all the game too seriously. I am going to be steering the ship. I am JB, and somehow we are going to get through these troubled hungover waters. And to my left, or indeed right, is Phil. How are you, Phil?
I am to your left.
Yes, but I'm confused because I'm looking at my screen.
Ah, right, okay. But it is to your left, to the viewer's right.
Correct. I don't know. The answer is I don't really know. And it's all very pressurised today because I can see that we're actually doing it live. So we don't have much scope for all the wrong things that we often do.
Is this the most sensible podcast to do live? Is this the best one to test, given what we've been doing for the past 3 days?
Well, I don't think we have a choice. I don't know if you know, Phil. I'm very impulsive by nature.
I've figured it out.
As soon as I get an idea, it's on.
It's happening.
Yeah.
No matter whether that's a good idea or a bad idea.
No. Now, let me just fill in the blanks for you. Tim is not here. Tim went to the Exeter game. And I think Tim reckons Exeter was, 5 minutes away from London?
I'm not sure he quite realised how long it would take him.
Yeah. So last time we were in contact with Tim, he was at Stonehenge.
His phone died, or was about to die, and his sat-nav told him he was still about 3 hours away from London.
Yeah.
So some bad traffic, not just distance, some horrendous traffic that he got caught in, but it means that he can't be here, unfortunately.
Yeah, so Tim might phone into the show as we go along. If not, we'll do a slightly shortened version of this podcast, and if we can get him online maybe tomorrow or the day after, we might give that a go, but we're not entirely sure.
But it's difficult just purely because of the times that Tim works. So his show goes out 7 p.m. till 11 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we work during the day, so it makes it a little bit more difficult for us to actually get something out.
Yes. Well, let's talk about another team that found stuff extremely difficult today. Did you watch Exeter versus Saracens?
It's one of only two games that I've watched live this weekend.
Yes, I have watched a remarkable amount of rugby, considering how long I've been in the country for, and the quality of my life in that few hours.
Very poor quality of life. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
Shall we talk briefly about the elephant in the room before we go on to any of the rugby?
Go
exactly on. What we've been doing for the past 3 days.
Yes.
So we went to Madrid. So it was my stag do. We travelled over to Madrid to spend 3 days, not really in the sunshine. We were basically 3 days in dank, dark sports bars drinking pint after pint
of lager. We literally should have gone to Coventry or somewhere like that. Sat in an Irish bar and free poured spirits, and that would have been probably the same.
And it would have cost a little bit less.
Yeah, it would cost a lot less. So yeah, that is why we're a bit ropey. Maybe I didn't explain that quite so much. Now, explain Saracen's exit to me, please, Phil.
I thought it would be closer than it actually was. Particularly given that Exeter at home, and this is probably a very good example of just how far ahead Saracens are, because the scoreline finished 30 something 12.
Yeah.
Let me get the exact scoreline up. 34-13 it finished, in fact, and it was a bonus point win for Saracens, and did it always look like it was going to be that? Probably not. It probably didn't always look like it. There was times when Exeter had a huge amount of territory, huge amount of possession, particularly in the second part of that first half, and they kept on getting close, and Saracen's defence was resolute, and not only was it resolute, but they actually used their defence as an attack and forced the turnovers. So every time in that first half that Exeter got close to scoring a try, Saracens would put the pressure on, put in a big hit or turn them over at the breakdown and end up relatively comfortably clearing their own line.
Yeah, there's a few things that I saw from this. First of all, I don't think that Henry Slade is going to be the answer at 10.
I think it's interesting.
Twice, and that team does not have enough shape or direction when he's in charge. It's just, they go a bit wild.
I can see that. So there's some parts of his game that I really like. I think his attacking the gain line and his flat passing is absolutely brilliant. I love that. But you're quite right that they don't seem to have the shape. But it's an interesting dilemma for Baxter, because the only way that he can get that game control is by experiencing it and actually playing. And he could, in time, become a considerably better fly half than Steenson.
Yep.
But right now, he's not as good a fly half as Steenson for controlling the game. But no, you can't get him that experience without actually doing it.
How much of playing Devoto do you think is to relieve pressure from playing Slade at 10? Because I think that's one of the things they've done. They've brought him in 10/12, who plays at 13.
30, yeah. In the same way that Slade did until this season.
Well, that's the first thing. So I think they lack some direction with him. Second thing, I do not think that Saracens are going to be overly happy with this performance, is my impression.
Okay.
Because they, to me, started to look a bit weak. Now, this is on the back of scoring 4 tries against the second best team in the country.
Yeah.
And all the rest of it.
Okay. Away from home.
Away from home, in a place that not many other people will win. The reason I say this is when they played basically a power game, Saracens did start to defend it well. In fact, no, they did defend it well. But they were giving away a lot of penalties. They were giving up ground, and eventually they broke. Now, the reason that's important is I think against the bigger French teams in Europe, this is going to be a serious problem. I think their way of defending is actually, from what I could tell today, could be quite susceptible to big, heavy, strong teams.
Well, we've seen them in the past few seasons. They've lost a couple of times to Toulon and lost also to Clermont. But last season they seem to have kind of got over that and managed to, beat everyone who came at them, including that enormous Racing team, comfortably in the final. So it's interesting. I get your point, particularly in the first half. They gave away an inordinate amount of penalties, and they took on more and more pressure, but they bent, but they never quite broke in that first half. And it was only right at the end, 60-odd minutes into the game, or 70 minutes into the game, that they actually conceded.
You can start to see how this could be a different game if Saracens concede a yellow card, because they should have conceded a yellow card.
Well, they did concede a yellow card.
What was that for?
The trip.
Yeah, sorry, the trip. No, for a team offence of continual infringement in the five-yard.
They could have done, yeah. Particularly in that first half, they did give away a lot of penalties.
Yeah. The other thing I'd say as well is I'm not particularly keen about keeping a player like Steenson on the bench. And this isn't related to my other point, which is because I think he's a better fly half. He's just not really an impact player.
I know exactly what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think you basically can separate players out into, you know, starters and people come on, come off the bench, give you massive impact. He doesn't really do that.
He doesn't have the impact, but if you're in the lead and you want to close a game out for the last 20 or 30 minutes, he could do that. But being in that, you've got to be in that position in order to do that, which they weren't.
Yeah, he isn't one to chase the game.
No. No, not really. Slade is the kind of guy you want to bring on to chase the game.
You mentioned the French teams before. We've had news emanating out of the citadel that they call Toulon. Is Mike Ford going to take over at Toulon? What is the latest?
I don't quite know, because obviously they lost 2 out of 3 of their opening games. Mm-hmm. They've just this weekend travelled to
Toulouse. Did they win that?
They won it by 20 points.
Did they?
They won it very comfortably.
Well, the first 20 minutes I watched and I didn't think that they looked like a winning team.
Yeah. So they've obviously pulled it together. I don't know is the honest answer. It's a rumour. Now, would you think he'd be going there as a coach or as head coach?
I don't really know.
Because I can see him going, his previous role with England was as defence coach, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So I could see him going as a defence coach, but I'm not sure whether he could go and be head coach. But I don't think he would want to go if he wasn't head coach, if that makes sense.
Well, it'd be difficult, because at the moment you're at Diego Dominguez, and Diego Dominguez has got all his own stuff there.
Yeah.
So presumably, he would be, taking a, excuse me, at the expense of Diego Dominguez's boys.
Yeah.
So it's going to be some sort of undermining.
Yeah.
Now he's just the single guy as well. So if you want to clear out your whole backroom staff and put him in, he's then going to have to find himself a load more coaches.
Yes.
It's a really unenviable position.
It is. It just doesn't seem like it fits. I don't quite like it. So we'll see where it goes.
Well, someone's just pointed out on Facebook Live, getting updates here. At least he can bring his PowerPoint presentation.
Can he bring Sam Burgess across?
Yeah, yeah. There we go. Sam Burgess to Toulon. Blockbuster signing. Do you think a Sam Burgess signing now would be even more impactful than the first time round?
I don't know. I would not know what to make of if Sam Burgess signed for Toulon. I would have no idea what's going on in the
it
world.
It would be the single biggest thing thing that you could do. people would go crazy.
Yeah,
and he wouldn't be English qualified. Imagine that.
Because he's not playing in England.
Yeah. There is another bit of Toulon-ish news which you can link into. Gatland's Law has come into force this week.
It has.
And part of Gatland's Law, in case you're not familiar with it, is A, Gatland does whatever he wants. B,
within certain rules.
Well, no, within the rules that Gatland lays down.
Okay, go on. The other one is?
Only 3 foreign players.
3 wild card picks.
Okay, so who would be your 3 wild card picks? Who's going to be missing out here? Because there's going to be a big name.
Assuming he's fit and he's currently out for, I think, 6 to 8 weeks. But Talupe Faletau is in there.
Has to be, yeah?
Yeah. George North is in there.
I don't think he is.
Do you not think? Nope. So you go for the Doctor and you go for Halfpenny?
Well, not necessarily. There's another guy you missed as well.
Charteris. Charteris is, what, 33 or so?
But 30. Phenomenally important.
Yeah, but so you've got 5 people there, and that's ignoring Priestland. But so you've got 5 people who would probably all be starters.
Yes.
So you're losing out on 2 starters.
Well, I guess where I'd be looking here, and Henson, don't forget him.
Do you think he'll be starting? Oh, he's currently injured anyway. So
yeah, is that from the Mahler shot?
From the Quinns game, he's out, isn't he?
Hmm. So I'm going to say Halfpenny doesn't get in.
Okay.
Although I think he will get in, but in my opinion, I wouldn't have him.
Yeah.
Because we've played for best part of 12 months without him, and it doesn't make a huge difference. Dan Bigger's a world-class kicker.
Dan Bigger is a world-class kicker, but it does mean you've got, if you're playing Liam Williams at 15, you've got a slight weakness on one wing, because they've tried with Tom James, and they've tried with Cuthbert.
Yep.
And they've tried with Amos. And
that's right. Well, if George North isn't the third guy to get qualified, potentially you have Amos on one wing and Cuthbert on the other.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'd much rather have Halfpenny, Liam Williams and George North as my back. That is a very good international back three.
Yeah, it is. But I just don't think... I just think that the way Wales play, the work rate of Faletel, the work rate of Charles Rush gets them in. And how do you go about dropping a guy like Jamie Roberts?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I can't see how you do it. He's so important culturally. Ooh, look at that. he's a great guy to have in a squad, all the rest of it. He makes some ungodly amount of tackles. It's an interesting one.
The one I would probably drop Charteris, because I think they have got some good other options in the second row. Like if you went for the Ospreys pair of Alan Wynne-Jones and Bradley Davis, and you had what's his name on the bench, the bearded Jake Ball on the bench.
Ooh.
You're not too bad. You don't lose as much from the drop off for those three, Charteris to those three, mm-hmm. as you do from George North to Cuthbert or Amos.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tough decision. But you know what isn't a tough decision?
No, but I'm sure you're about to tell me.
Cornerstone Razors. our friends at Cornerstone, go give them a visit. They are the provider of subscription razors. For as little as £4 a month, you can have razors delivered directly to your door. I do it, although I nearly lost my Cornerstone this weekend in Madrid.
I was looking after it for you.
Whew. So yes, thankfully my shaft was placed back in my hand after a very close scare. And yeah, just go on to Cornerstone / Egg Chasers or Egg 10 at checkout. From as little as £4 a month, you can have razors delivered right to your door. Loads of listeners have done it so far. We suggest that you should too. And they're just great. We do it because it works.
It's a very good, very good subscription service.
Yes. So, that's that. Did you watch any of the Bristol game?
I've seen the highlights.
Mm-hmm.
I obviously wasn't watching it live, because I don't believe it was on live. Yes.
Is there anything here that you want to visit?
Not hugely. I think it kind of went as expected, didn't it? Northampton, after a bit of a shaky start last week, probably performed as we were expecting. Tries from George North, obviously, but Pickamoles. One of the PC boys, one of the three PC boys who were involved in the game.
I didn't realise that the other PC was the third brother.
Yeah, the eldest brother.
Who's going to win in a game of rugby, the two Alangis or the PCs?
Right now, or when they're all in their prime?
Let's say three PCs, so it's going to be three aside against any three two Alangis.
So there's three playing in the Premiership at the moment. Or have they been released by Newcastle? The Tuilagi brothers.
Yeah, but there's
another one. There's Brian Tuilagi. Who's
yeah,
not.
There's more of them in Leicester.
Are there?
Yes, there's Brian. You see,
there's definitely one called Brian Tuilagi.
Oh, you're gonna have to excuse me. I am dying.
Tuilagi's in their prime. Win right now. Probably the pieces, because you can't get Manu on the pitch for more than 1 week, and the others probably a little bit past it.
Mm. The only thing I was going to mention about this Bristol game is I was expecting a little bit more of a rally for their first home game at Ashton Gate.
Yes,
and that clearly didn't happen. I also think when Henson doesn't play, he is so key. And I'm not just saying this to get laughs. It has always been like one of those funny things you say, Henson's class, he should be playing for Wales or the rest of it. He genuinely is really, really good. And when he doesn't play, they miss everything from his defensive work, and his hands are just so good.
His hands and his kicking.
Oh, in the double header for the 20 minutes that he was on the field, he did look like...
He was one of the best players on the park.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I know I know you genuinely mean that, and I think a few people would see it as a joke. Shane Williams, a couple of weeks ago in his column in the Rugby paper, actually basically replicated what you're saying. He said he would back Henson to get recalled to Wales.
Yeah, I think so, because he's in good shape. For everything that you hear from people who follow Bristol and watch him closely, say that he's actually a very good professional now. Long gone are the days. Well, actually, let's not say long gone are the days. It only takes like one bit, you know, one cut price budget flight abroad and a few too many beers, and it's all over.
Yeah. But so he's the only thing I would say for playing for Wales, he's now 34.
Yes.
So he's unlikely to make the next World Cup in 3 years' time when he'd be 37.
There again, I mean, what is his game? It's not like it's not like a high intensity speed game. You lose a yard, you're not going to be you're not going to be quite as effective. It's all about hands, intelligence, and skills. So presumably, he could continue.
But potentially, how many backs, how many centres have played in World Cups at the age of 37 in total? Not just ones who rely less on the pace, just in total. Yeah. It can only be a handful.
On the other hand, though, not many of them are called Gavin Henson.
That's true.
Super Gavin Henson.
Well, I believe that no centres have ever played in World Cup called Gavin Henson.
True. Tim's not here. If Tim was here, right now, he would be using one word over and over again. And that word would be empathy.
Empathy.
Empathy regarding... I can't say his name. Say his name for me.
Farah Asilova.
Red card.
The red card. The Worcester back row. Former Bath back row. Yeah. Who was red carded.
So, I saw the tweet that Tim put out. And he wasn't happy about it.
Yeah.
I don't really think there's much of a case to argue here.
I'm okay with the red card. I would have potentially considered a yellow card as justice, but I don't have a huge problem with a red card, in all honesty. Do you?
No, I think it's probably right. I mean, you've got a player who's been separated from his consciousness, and what you've basically got is just a rugby league chicken wing.
Yeah. So if he'd have kept his arm into his body, mm-hmm. I think you've probably got a different conversation, but it's the fact that as he goes through, his elbow goes up and out, and it's that leading, like actually jabbing the elbow out, that you just can't do that.
I mean, you used to make a joke that Scott Quinnell would wear an arm guard, and then the arm guard would almost be the sign that he's about to perpetrate some heinous crimes by leading with the forearm. And it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's, I was thinking about this the other day. It's one of those things that kind of goes down in rugby folklore as something dangerous, but you don't see that much of. So leading with the forearm is one. Now, I don't know if you had this in school, but in school, everyone used to tell me it's really dangerous to tackle a player and drop them onto your knees.
Drop them onto your... Oh, no, I've never come across that.
Someone called it like a knee drop. I was like, ooh, that's terrifying. And then when I got into adult rugby, no one ever mentioned it ever again.
It's an awkward thing to do, and you're equally likely to injure yourself, surely, dropping a 16, 17 stone man onto your own legs.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't sound very comfortable.
There was another red card this weekend, which I think probably shouldn't have been a red card. In the Sale Quinns game for Lua Manu, the reserve, I think he came on in the second row, but he's a back row, reserve back row. For what was a no-arm tackle it was given off. But from the angles I've seen, they were at best inconclusive.
I think I saw this. It wasn't a particularly hard hit either.
It was a good solid hit, but it wasn't, yeah. The player remained conscious for one thing.
Yes.
So that's normally a good sign. I just felt like that was, if you're going to complain about a single red card this weekend, that felt like a bigger miscarriage of justice.
Yeah, I think if you've got a player who is knocked unconscious, clearly something has happened. Clearly there's been some contact with the head somewhere. And if it can be proved to be an illegal contact, I think that's just it. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
The
first thing that touched his head was the elbow. So that is definitely an illegal act. So I'm okay with the red card.
Let's talk about the rugby in that game, because I think the rugby in that game is far more interesting than the actual red card in that game. In fact, let's talk about both those games, because I think they're both very important in their own ways. Gloucester.
Yes, now, 23 all.
Yeah, one of the listeners on Facebook Live has just said he'd rather shave himself with a rusty cornerstone rather than watch Gloucester play again. Love that. But, of course, he's wrong, because cornerstones don't rust.
They do not rust.
Exactly right. Now, on the highlights, it looked like Gloucester were playing like the Harlem Globetrotters. It looked excellent, but the actual extended highlights and the full match does not bear this out.
Yes, and it was only really late in the game that they got their act together, which is the opposite of last week's game. It was only in the last 20 minutes that they scored their tries.
Excuse me. And also, another weird thing about it, I mean, was Laidlaw injured towards the end?
I don't know, but he slotted the conversion that drew them level. He just slotted that on the 71st minute, right from the touchline. That was a hell of a kick. So I'm not sure.
So he was on the field, but he must have been playing out of position, because Willie Hines was playing at nine.
Right, okay.
Now,
did Willie Hines not go onto the wing?
No, it looked like he was playing scrum off to me.
Right, okay.
So what effectively you've got is your captain, he's your scrum half. Now, scrum halves run more than any other player statistically.
Yes, not in terms of meters made with ball in hand.
No.
But
in terms of physical ground cover.
Yes, yeah.
So it makes sense that you might want to replace one.
Yeah.
But if he's also your captain and your kicker, that puts you in a small bind.
Yeah.
And also, is Laidlaw a good enough rugby player? I mean, I know he used to play 10, but would you want to hide him at fullback? Would you want to put him on the wing? And is that really where you want your captain?
Not really. Not really.
It's just a lack of leadership.
He did get man of the match in the game, though.
I just don't like... I don't like the use of him. Yeah, and kicker, captain, and not actually playing your starting position when leadership is needed at the end of the game.
Yeah. No, I can see that.
Mm. And is it worth talking about Worcester? Well done, Worcester. Didn't quite lose. That's fine. Sale.
Yes.
Now you're talking.
Because you said they were going to win, and they won.
Yeah. Massively happy with this.
So this was played in pretty bad conditions, wasn't it?
Yep.
And Sale's rolling mauls seem to be the feature. From the extended highlights that I've seen, the rolling mauls seem to be the only real highlights.
And the fact that... I mean, I think it's very impressive that they've got a young fly half from the Championship.
That is impressive, yeah.
And he's slotted straight in. He's got 5 out of 5 kicks.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if he was on song, we could be looking at Sale as an unbeaten team from last week.
Yeah.
It's just a very astute, very good signing. And I think this team are going to get... I think they're going to be formidable. Just give him a few more weeks, though. A few more weeks.
Okay. And Quinn's, anything we can take from this? Apart from that Chris Robshaw scored his first try for 2.5 years in the Premiership.
Is that right?
Yeah. Huh. Doesn't score many tries.
Well, all I said about Quinn's is... It does worry me they've got a whole contingent of players available to them. So I think Quinn's very good on their day.
Yeah.
And then when they lose players, their squad depth isn't as strong as it should be. Yes, they brought all the lads through from the academy and they're a very English team and they've done all the right things, so on and so forth. But they need those frontline players in to be effective.
Yeah.
And they've got the frontline players in. Mike Brown's got a virus, apparently, but everyone else is available.
Yeah.
And they don't look any good.
Yeah. Now, I think we've seen Quinn's twice in pretty poor conditions, which doesn't particularly suit their style. And they've reverted to a kind of kick and chase, forward-orientated game because of the conditions. And that doesn't really suit the way they play. Now, that's great to say, but we're only in September, and the conditions are going to get a lot worse throughout the season. So then maybe that is a bit ominous for them.
Yeah, come the international call-up. Mind you, that's if they get any international call-ups. I mean, you'd assume that Robshaw goes.
You'd think so,
But Moll isn't not guaranteed to make the England squad.
No, he's definitely not guaranteed to make the starting squad. I would have thought Chisholm. Not Chisholm.
Chisholm? The fullback?
No, not Chisholm.
Brown?
Clifford.
Oh, Clifford, yeah.
Yeah, Brown Brown probably will do. Visser probably will do for Scotland.
Yes, that is true. Visser will. Yard will go.
Yard, he might not make the match day 23, though.
Yeah, so it's not actually as conclusive as you think.
He might not make the match day 23, particularly given the way that Rocco Degouni played.
Who are the three lads who are on similar contracts? It's Mahler.
It was
Mahler, Brown, and Kerr.
Kerr, yeah, and then Robshaw was on slightly more, wasn't he?
Yeah. So so Kerr, basically what I'm saying is, when they're at full strength, these guys need to be a lot better, because if they're not good now, they're going to really struggle when it comes to internationals.
Yeah,
really struggle.
And also, you do wonder, Nick Evans, 35, great player, still a great player. How much longer can he keep being an incredible player?
Hear me now, believe me later. James Lang of RGC, I was going to say vintage, but that isn't quite the right word, of RGC heritage.
Yes,
is there now? When you see him, when you watch him, you're going to be impressed.
So is he? He's not made the matchday squad yet, has he?
Not yet. But he's going to be extremely exciting when he eventually gets his shots.
Okay.
Now, there's a lot of chat about Leicester changing the way that they play, and the way that Leicester now love games with high points. Sadly, it doesn't seem that Leicester like scoring the high points, only conceding them.
Yes. That's one way of looking at it.
Like, there is an argument to be... Not an argument. There will be people out there saying, is this revolutionary new way of playing really going to suit us? Because their defensive statistics are horrific. absolutely horrific. Manu Tuilagi last week missed how many tackles?
He missed 6 tackles on his own.
Just let that sink in. An inside centre has missed 6 tackles. That's crazy. They've also got the lowest tackle completion in the entire league. So I think if you're one of the Tigers faithful now, you'll be looking in from the outside and thinking, this simply isn't working. They nearly shipped. Well, they nearly lost the game to Gloucester. I mean, they couldn't have run it any more closely. And as for this Wasps game, I think they were really showing up.
Yeah, they were. They were outplayed and outmuscled right across the board.
Who is Adam Moore?
I don't know why.
People keep on telling me Adam Moore is signing for Bath.
Adam Marr.
Moore. No.
No.
Mean nothing to you?
Adam Moore?
Mm-hmm.
No idea. Sorry.
Fine. I think the problem Leicester have is they've gone down the road with Aaron Major. I don't think that they can come back. And they would be wrong to come back. I think their attack is actually okay, but the overall impression you get is this new expansive rugby and making the pitch wider at Welford Road and the rest of it is also responsible for all of this high points conceded. Because there's no way they can go through this season shipping 30-odd points to teams like Gloucester. No point.
No.
No way.
Or 34 points at home against Wasps.
That's unheard of.
Yeah.
Last time they were beaten by Wasps was 2002 at home.
I thought it was 2008.
Oh, sorry, 2008.
There you go.
So, it's just...
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a very difficult place that they find themselves in. Wasps, on the other hand, I'm very impressed with the use of Gopeth and Cipriani.
I am. Gopeth has been possibly the best player for the past 2 weeks. Best overall player.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
He's not played inside centre since he played provincial rugby before coming to Newcastle.
Yeah.
And they put him there. And do you know what it feels like to me? It feels like they've given him just a load of... It feels like he's got freedom just to be a good rugby player.
Yeah. Because, I mean, last week he popped up on the wing, scoring a try, went round... who did he go round? Oh, Woodburn.
Yes.
Went round an actual genuine winger.
A real life winger.
And this week he popped up at the back of a mall to finish off a try. Back of a driving mall.
He's actually quite tenacious. You don't really see that in him. You think of him as more of like a boring player who kicks sticks.
Well, his turnover where he stole the ball, broke down the left-hand wing and then kicked inside for Christian Wade to finish off was brilliant.
Well, I've also got a small thing for him. What's that?
I don't know. You're the bird man.
That is the sound of a vulture.
Okay.
Gopeth is this week's Vulture Award winner for stealing tries off forwards.
Well, Marlon Yard did it last week. We're seeing it quite a lot more at the moment.
Well, it's because of passing the ball back.
Yeah.
So they kind of see it and their eyes light up. Like, right, I'm in.
I'm going to get on this. Yeah. Johnny Leota, he almost got the try. It was actually Seymour who scored, but he carried the ball over line at least once. He was constantly he was trying to steal it off Seymour when Seymour scored.
I mean, at what point are we going to see like teammates fall out, elbows start flying, double red cards, and try disallowed?
Yes.
So I think I'm going to. I wasn't sure Tim was on something here, but I'm going to have a good close look at this. And every week I might hand out the Vulture Award.
The Vulture, yeah, Vulture. So, Marlon Yard first week, definitely. There was no reason he needed to be in the back of that driving mall.
No reason.
And Gopeth this week.
Who did it? Oh, it wasn't quite the same. But Genge got on the back of the driving mall and got very excited last week and ran into touch.
Oh, yeah. When he tried to finish, we thought he was a winger and tried to dance down the touchline and just bumbled out into touch.
Oh, and he got carded.
He did.
This week too.
He did get carded. Again, no intent, but he clattered into, who was it? It's Gaskell, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
When Gaskell was well in the air, Gaskell fell awkwardly. So it was probably the right decision.
The Let the Boys Play Award goes to Gaskell for getting straight back up.
Yeah.
Didn't mince around, didn't hold his head or his knee. Just bounced straight back up.
Did you see, speaking about the letting the boys play and refereeing, did you see the incident in the first half of Saracens Exeter?
I knew we had something else to talk about. Yes.
So there was a turnover in the middle of the park that Saracens affected, ball on the floor, a turnover, and all of the Saracens lads ran in and were like whooping and high-fiving directly on top of the Exeter players, so like barging in, but also whooping and high-fiving. And is it JP Doyle was reffing that?
Mm.
And he said to Brad Barrett, I do not want to see that again. It's unsporting and I'll be reversing the penalty if that happens again.
Okay. All right. So what would Tim say now? Empathy.
I'm not sure in this instance.
Here's what I think, right? Defence is largely about attitude. So, like, when Stuart Lancaster was in charge of England, one of his defensive principles was, it's all about attitude, and apparently the mindset was, go get them. So,
okay.
you'd hear all the England lads step up and go get them, you know. And that's the thing. It's more about attitude and teamwork than anything else. It takes very little skill to defend well.
To make your tackles.
Yeah, it just takes a lot of heart. So when you're G'ing up your team and when you want to get that, you know, that kind of pack mentality, I think you need this. And if that's the way that you play and you get really excited for D and you want to make your tackles and you work hard and all the rest of it, well, that's for that team. I mean, if anything, you know, showing support for your mates who've just worked bloody hard to turn it over, I don't see it. I don't see what JP Doyle's whinging about.
I agree with the sentiment. The way that they were doing it was deliberately inflammatory and trying to kind of wind Exeter up. It wasn't, and I'm also, celebrating is a NFL, a football thing. You should, I like the simple celebrations, and not every action deserves a whoop and a high five and a shouting in someone's face. I don't think the defence in this instance does.
Cue outrage. The NFL celebration rules, I believe, have got a little bit of tint of racism in them.
Okay.
Genuinely. So, there is a college team called Miami Hurricanes. There still is a team called Miami Hurricanes. They were incredibly good. They were, how can I say, they were very naughty individuals too. They had some rather rum characters playing for them at the time. Every time that they would score, they would do various celebrations. And middle-class America just went absolutely nuts. So there's a handbook out there of all these dance moves that they would do, and which, you know, and pretty much every one of them is banned. And that has gone up through American football now. So the fact that you literally cannot celebrate anything. The fact, if you go to Lambeau Field, right, and you score a touchdown, if you play for Green Bay, you're allowed to jump in the crowd.
Yeah.
If you don't play for Green Bay, you'll get a penalty because it's been grandfathered in.
Wow.
That's how serious it is. You can't use props. So a few years ago, a new...
you shouldn't be able to use props.
Well, I quite like it. So like a couple of years ago, who was it? Someone from New Orleans Saints got a little bow around Christmas time, scored a touchdown, put his bow...
On the ball.
On the ball and gave it to someone in the crowd. Fine. In fact, I think he actually got fined.
I'm okay with him getting fined for that.
Yeah, well, anyway, so bring it back around to rugby, I don't think the officials should be... I mean, no, I don't think the officials should be getting involved because it isn't... I don't think it is deliberately inflammatory. Oh. It's obviously a team.
Did you see that one?
Yeah, I did. I don't think it was that bad.
Okay.
The other side of that, I'll make JP Doyle's argument for him, is there was a player on the floor.
Yeah.
Now, when he's a player on the floor, I wasn't sure if the player was injured or, you know, what. I suppose the way around this is Saracen's boys help the player up nice and sportingly and then high-five him.
And then high-five and whoop and holler and get the bow and the props.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's basically what I think. Do you disagree?
I'm all for patting your mates on the back, particularly defensive effort, I think, is brilliant. It's the whooping and it's the charging in as well. The charging in when there's people, not just from a safety issue, from the people on the floor, but the charging in and whooping and hollering. I think it's just unnecessary.
Well, you can link this, if you want, into scrummaging and backs complimenting forwards for winning scrums.
Yeah.
Which some people, for some reason, hate, and I actually really like. Because it's a massive, you know, turn in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I can see the congratulation, but there's a better way of doing it than the whooping and the hollering and the high fives.
Yeah, maybe, maybe.
And there's nothing wrong with a good arse tap.
Oh, well, that's what they should do. A cock tap. What's happened to the cock tap this year?
Exeter haven't scored too many tries.
Oh, yeah, well, there was no cock tapping today, I guess.
Just the one for LCD, MHD.
Who's that?
Mullet hyphen Dickie.
Of course. Who doesn't have a mullet now.
No.
I think at this point it's probably wise if we mention the Pro 12.
We can do. That's a good idea.
Are things changing in the Pro 12, Phil?
In what way?
Well, the Welsh team seems to be quite good.
Some do, some don't, I think is fair to say. So Scarlets, who we thought might be stronger than last year, still haven't won a game. But Cardiff went away to Munster. And that's a hell of a result.
Yeah, now, they've got a young lad, Ellis Jenkins, who everybody loves. He's playing seven and pushing some more... Well, doesn't always play seven. Most of the time he plays seven. Pushes some Warburton to six. They've got that plastic pitch.
Yeah.
It does feel like things might be on the turn for particularly Cardiff and particularly Ospreys. I mean, there again, I say on the turn, they had one bad year last year.
When they lost all of their international players half the year.
Yeah, and they have won the competition, God knows how many times. I think they're the second most successful team in the entire history of the competition. So,
we did have a tweet shared with us that was saying it's unfair of the Pro 12 organisers to schedule Connacht v Ospreys when Ospreys don't have half their players missing in the Wales squad.
I have to ask questions about Connacht now. 2 weeks in a row, big losses.
Both at home as well. Both at home.
It doesn't look good.
No. And we were debating how big the three losses would be for the squad. McGinty, Henshaw, Muldowney. It does appear like they've taken something out of that team, doesn't it?
Yes. Henshaw.
Henshaw, McGinty, Muldowney. Yeah.
Well, the other rumour I heard a while ago is that Bendiaki had been approached by New Zealand to come home.
Really?
And he was thinking very carefully about it. And I don't think that the first two games of this season have really filled him with much hope.
No, not. Yeah, he might be thinking, have I made the right decision?
Yeah, I'd love to speak to an actual Connacht fan. I would love to speak to an actual Connacht fan about all this and see what their view is, because it could be from us outsiders a little bit just, you know, we've had two bad results and now we're rushing to conclusions.
Yeah.
Because this is all part of what they say is their bigger plan. I think they've got stadium redevelopment ideas, they've got more, as they call, indigenous players. I think they mean Irish players. I think that's a very peculiar phrase to use.
But it's also probably worth remembering that they have played the two teams who are currently top of the league, the Ospreys and Glasgow, who are two excellent teams. There's not many teams that will beat either of those two. Glasgow beat Leinster at the weekend as well. So,
how did your beloved Ulster do?
Travelled to Treviso, Benetton Treviso, and won 22-11 against a spirited Treviso team. Unfortunately, didn't pick up the 4-try bonus point, which is very disappointing.
22-11?
22-11.
Huh. And I'm sure that it was actually quite a close game involving the other Irish team.
Zebert lost by 5 points to the Dragons. So 11-6.
I wonder if they'd be better off splitting that league in half, you know. Do you know, like halfway through the season?
That's almost a bit insulting to the low half. But
they do it in Scottish football.
Do they?
Yeah, they do it in some of the leagues in the RFU pyramid.
Yeah, in some of like the second team leagues where you have huge disparity.
But this is exactly what you have in the Pro 12.
There is some disparity in the Pro 12.
I mean, if you've got the six best Pro 12 teams, right, and you know, half the year you said, right, we're going to concentrate this in the top half of the table, I think you'd get some magnificent games.
Oh, the top teams, you get some excellent games. Like Glasgow hosting Leinster this week was 33-25 to Glasgow.
Yeah.
I've not seen much of the game. I've seen Tommy Seymour's try, which was absolutely superb, breaking through the middle and then the gas to get away from everyone.
Okay, so let me just explore my thought a little bit further here, because I quite like what I'm saying, so unsurprisingly.
That, you do surprise me, Jay.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, I really like this idea. So you got the top six teams in the Pro 12. Not only would they be better matches, you'd also have more of the derbies, presumably, because it'd be Munster, Leinster would probably be up there.
Leinster, Ulster, Glasgow, Ospreys. Well, last year would have been Connacht, but on this form you'd say no, maybe Cardiff.
What a tremendous idea. I wonder if I've just fixed the Pro 12 by accident.
Now, the problem, to play devil's advocate, and I know you won't hear anything bad about your idea because it's your idea.
Exactly.
Are you not just creating even more disparity between the top and the bottom, and the teams at the bottom are just going to get worse and worse and worse, and the teams at the top are going to get stronger and stronger? And
well, no, because it's a non-relegation type scenario. So I don't think these teams are just going to get continually worse. And also, it gives everyone a target to aim for mid-season. It makes mid-season very exciting.
It does make mid-season more exciting, but you're going to get the best players going to a smaller concentration of teams.
Well, there's only so many players to go around then anyway. Some of them are going to need jobs lower down, so it should be all right.
Okay.
It should be all right. And they do it in Scottish football, and that's a great competition.
Yes. No, come that's on. That's
no, wait. The other one.
Okay.
Tell me about the Pro 12 fixtures this week, please.
Okay. Coming up.
Do you know who Ulster have got? By the way, Tok H's first win. The Tok H, in case anyone's wondering, is the club that I play for. First competitive win in the league this weekend.
Excellent. So, Pro 12.
Fire away.
Friday night, Cardiff host Glasgow.
Ooh, good. That's going to be a really good game.
That'll be a good test. It'll be a good test of both teams, actually. Glasgow travelling.
Yeah.
And Glasgow will like that plastic pitch. And Cardiff, a real test for them. I mean, if they've gone away to Munster, not many teams will go away to Munster and win, which they've just done.
Yeah.
So that's quite a tasty fixture. You've then got Ulster hosting Scarlets. Scarlets, who are slightly underperforming. Ulster looking to continue the unbeaten run.
Yeah. If Ulster catch fire, I mean, that could just be like the Battle of the Backs.
Yes. Yeah, that should be quite exciting.
Yeah.
And then Edinburgh host Leinster, which again doesn't seem like too bad a game. I think Edinburgh...
They're quietly competent, Edinburgh, yeah, which is damning with faint praise. Are they the Pro 12's version of Gloucester? They're nearly good.
Yeah. They're probably the closest thing. The closest thing. And maybe in a couple of seasons' time, they might actually start to do something.
Yeah.
Then on Saturday, and this is going to be very interesting, Connacht travel away to Zebre.
Yes.
Connacht have to get a bonus point win.
Yeah.
Nothing else is acceptable. But yeah. Zebre have only had two narrow losses so far, so I don't think that'll be as straightforward as you might think.
And the last couple of games?
Then we've got Dragons host Munster,
mm-hmm,
and Ospreys host Treviso. So Ospreys will get a bonus point win, and you'd imagine Munster will travel to Dragons and take 4 points.
You would assume that. Yes, I think that's a fairly safe assumption.
Okay.
And Premiership?
1 second. So in Premiership again, we've got our stat back competition continuing.
Oh, did you win lots of money off people that have decided to play?
I've still not won any money. I didn't actually enter this week because the teams were announced on Friday afternoon, and I was not in. I wasn't the best version of myself Friday afternoon and evening.
Yes,
I'd had a beer or two, so I didn't actually enter this week.
I got. After a few drinks, I did some fantasy rugby trading, and it nearly ended up very...
That's a dangerous game to be
I had a written contract, okay, because this is the only thing... I had a written contract with Bryn Williams that I would I'd lend him Cipriani so he could beat Tim this week for an outside back. And the way we did it is I told him the outside back that I needed him to sign. He would sign it, put that outside back on his roster, trade with me... Okay.
I don't like the sound of this deal.
Yeah. What he did is he signed the outside back, liked the look of him, kept him, and tried to fob me off with Pablo Cicino for Danny Cipriani, with no intention of giving me Cipriani back.
That is a dangerous game.
Yeah, so it won't be happening again.
Well, in our other little competition, so statbacker.com, we had meters made last week. The official final tally will be on Monday or Tuesday. But this week, we've got defenders beaten. And I can tell you that the top five players who've beaten most defenders, can you guess any of them so far?
The top five players that have beaten most defenders?
Yeah.
Rocco Degouni
is second with 11 from two games.
Okay. Okay, so it's got to be someone's played twice. Someone from Wasps.
There is someone from Wasps in the top five. Not the guy you're thinking of, though.
Jimmy Gopeth?
Nope.
Don't know.
Guy Thompson?
Oh, we've not spoke about that. Oh, actually, we have. Basically, more woeful defending by Layla. Layla. Leicester.
Freudian slip.
Whoops.
That was woeful defending. But the dropping Nathan Hughes to the bench and starting Guy Thompson, who was absolutely superb, scored one try, made a huge number of carries.
I tell you what's terrible.
So he's third top in terms of number of defenders beaten.
That's
so
amazing.
Far. It really is.
I tell you what was amazing about that game is that the amount of quality the Wasps didn't play. The injured guys, Eastman and Curtis Beale, everyone knows about, okay?
Yeah.
LaRue.
Is he... He's not joined up with the squad
not
yet.
Not even there yet.
Yeah.
On the bench, Ashley Johnson, who was a guaranteed starter for them only a few years ago.
Yeah.
You had no Matt Mullen, you had no...
Yeah.
Nathan Hughes, had no James Haskell.
Dan Robson didn't start.
Yeah.
Obviously, Joe Simpson, Dan Robson is 1A, 1B. Yeah. It is. I mean, we were looking at the squad and thinking they might be a little bit lightweight up front, but they're looking good.
Yeah, very much so. Why were we talking about that? Oh, yeah, start back. Yeah, so
yeah.
Who are the defenders beating or whatever you were saying?
Sonotti is top. Rokadoguni, Guy Thompson, then Tim's favourite, Joe Marchant, outside centre, he's beaten 8, and Freddie Burns has beaten 7. There's a few on 7, actually. Burns, Billy Vunipola, Tom Marshall, and Sean Maitland.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
So, the fixture, the Premiership...
Maitland is on that list.
He is?
How is Maitland on that list? I've watched him play intently, and he's an expert at not being where the ball is. Yes, he scored 2 tries today. That's all he did.
He said himself that he called them 2 lollipop tries. He just flopped over the line, basically.
Yeah, he's very, very good at not... He's very good at not being Chris Ashton.
Yes. Yeah, he tops that list, or doesn't quite top it, but he's up there.
Yeah.
So the games this weekend, Friday night game, Sale Sharks host Gloucester.
So, you'll need a bigger pack. a rerun of that game.
The only game that they lost at home last year.
This is interesting, right? Gloucester will go there knowing they can win.
Yeah.
Sale will want to really get one back for last time.
Yeah.
But I think, and Gloucester will... Gloucester will be, I think Gloucester will be a handful here. Because they have been a handful. I mean, that's the other thing. You look at them against Leicester, they were a handful.
Yeah.
Matt Scott scoring for fun.
Yeah, 3 tries in 2 games.
But do Sale just squeeze them out like they ought?
Hmm.
Give me Sale, but not by much.
Yeah. I think conditions will be important in this as well.
Yeah.
I think if it is... a nice day, I think Gloucester have a better chance. I think if it's wet and windy, as Manchester frequently is. Mm-hmm.
Someone said today? They were being interviewed. I think it was Jack Knoll, maybe.
It was Jack Knoll talking before the game.
I don't think he meant it to sound disrespectful, but it certainly felt disrespectful, which was... Why is Sale successful? Well, they play late at night and it's windy and rainy. Yeah. It wasn't like they train really hard.
Great coaching setup, really talented players, experience all over the park. No, they play in miserable conditions. Everyone hates going there.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, that was that.
Then.
So yeah.
So I'm saying Sale.
Yeah. Okay.
Sale narrowly. On Saturday, we have got Bath hosting Worcester, which I think could be a pretty high scoring game, in Bath's favour.
Yeah.
Then Exeter host Harlequins.
Yep.
Exeter looking to get their first victory of the season.
Do you know, Exeter lost today, and the score looks like they lost badly, but they actually put in quite a muscular performance. I think Exeter will give Harlequins a bit of a hiding, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think that.
I think Exeter will win. I seem to remember this...
By the way, how many Australians do Exeter have? It feels like they're
flooded
with Australians.
They got quite a few.
There's Turner, there's Dennis, there's Lees...
Yeah,
Salvi,
Greg Holmes, probably a couple of others. Yeah. They let one go though, who's now at Sale.
Who?
Been playing fullback for Sale for the past 2 weeks.
Baron McGuigan. I thought he was Irish.
No.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Exeter to win this.
I think Exeter will win. Although, I am hoping for good conditions, which we should get. Down there, just so I can see what Harlequins can actually do.
Yeah.
And see the way that they, the way that I think they want to play rugby. If it's good conditions and Harlequins don't perform, then I think we've got to start asking a few questions.
Oh, big time. I was thinking about this today. They've got rid of Conor O'Shea.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, maybe there's an element there of maybe this has run its course.
Do you not think it was Conor O'Shea wanted a new challenge or a different challenge?
Okay, well, if that was the case, I'm not saying it isn't the case. I'm sure he does want a new challenge. He's done a really good job there.
Yeah.
And he's been there for quite some time. But if the players really, really loved him and they wanted him to stay and they just wanted the continuity of the old regime, do you think they'd have got hammered like his last ever game for Harlequins?
That's a good point.
And they did get absolutely battered.
Yeah.
You know, if you listen to my Rugby Dungeon episode with Joe Marler, he describes their defence in not very flattering terms.
Yeah.
And there's a few more things in there which just makes you think, maybe they weren't all as invested in this as we originally thought.
Yeah.
So this slow revolution of bringing Kingston in, and then you've got basically got a player who has retired and become a defence coach, and they're not defending particularly well. I just wonder if that could be the first place where we see a managerial casualty.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility. Definitely. Then, let's say that this is the biggest game of the weekend, 3 p.m. on Saturday. Saracens host Northampton.
Do you know I mentioned that Saracens might struggle with a very muscular team?
Well, they're going to come up with a very muscular team.
Yeah, I don't think you can get... Okay, so let's just revisit something with that thought. When Exeter started getting back in the game, and I say started getting back in the game, it doesn't feel like that on the score sheet, but there was a point where they kicked a few pens and they looked all right and they kept the ball in the hand. They basically starved Saracens of any ball. If Northampton can do that and be very direct, and I have no doubt Northampton can be direct because that's what they do.
Yeah.
This one could be close. I don't think they will beat Saracens because Saracens are a winning team, and that's what winning teams do.
At home, especially.
Yeah. But I think they've got the tools to do it.
Now, what do you think? So we spoke earlier about the Slade-Steenson scenario, and Baxter's currently sticking with it. We've got a very similar scenario at Northampton, where you had Malinder started the first game, and they didn't play as expected, and Myler got dropped straight in to the second game, and they played exactly as expected. So do you think, from that Myler is the way to go for now for Northampton, and you'll see Myler starting with either Malinder in the centre or as an impact sub?
Yes, I would start with Myler. I would definitely. I mean, look, with Myler, I think Myler's taken to a European Cup final. He's won the Premiership with them. You know, he's a good, solid starter.
Yes.
I don't think you should, just because your son plays, you shouldn't really drop him.
I guess that is the difference, isn't it? The son.
Yes, exactly right.
I think they should go for Myler. We've spoken about it at length a few times, but I do think that Malinder long term will be an inside centre rather than a 10.
Everyone thinks that, yeah.
Yeah. So you shouldn't be trying to shoehorn him into that position.
Who do Tigers have?
So we're both going for Saracens win at home. Then on the Sunday, Leicester travel up to Newcastle.
This is going to be a tri-fest.
Yes. Yeah. And I think mostly for Leicester.
Yes.
Having seen Newcastle against Bath, I know it's tough travelling down to Bath, and Bath are defying our expectations this year. I think that Newcastle against the bigger, stronger teams
Do we know why Vianu didn't play yesterday?
No.
He must be injured.
I'd assume so, yeah. And one game in, why would you rest? Oh yeah, of course, because he went off in the Gloucester game.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he must be injured.
After looking amazing.
Yeah.
So, and that's the last game of the weekend.
Well, there's also Wasps Bristol at the Rico.
Oh, wow.
Which will be, in my mind, I think Wasps by 20 points.
I'd say so. Oof. That's quite a lot of rugby. And we're still not discussing internationals, but let's not do that.
Okay.
Because I've got a suspicion that we'll probably get another podcast out sometime in the week with Tim on, because you all need your fill of Tim. And we'll save that for him to discuss when we get hold of him.
Yes, because there's the Rugby Championship, which we watched, or certainly the first game I watched when I was dying in my hotel bed on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fixtures this week as well.
There's only one thing that I'll mention about...
There are fixtures this weekend.
There's only one thing I'll mention about the Rugby Championship.
Go on.
It's South African. I've never seen it before, but I want to see more of it. It was Hugard. He dived for a try without the ball.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
What a manoeuvre.
Who scored it?
Goosen, was it?
It was Goosen. Yeah. And they both slid in at the same time.
I loved it. Absolutely loved
it. Yeah, I did.
It reminded me like kind of... It's like having a fighter escort.
Yeah.
Go on, lads. Over we go.
Did you also see Etzebeth have his shirt ripped off his back?
I did not. I only saw highlights of that game.
We can see some more of that.
Yes. Excellent. Right then, Phil, shall we wrap this up?
I need to go to bed.
Yeah, I need bed too. And it's... What is the time? Is it 10 o'clock?
It's 10:05 on Sunday evening.
I've got to upload this podcast next.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, one of our sponsors, if you're so inclined to drink stuff like Salty Kiss, like you are, Phil, or if you're a bit more of a normal beer drinker like me, you can sign up to Beer 52, subscription beer direct it to your door. They source all of the best beer from around the country, and they send it you in crates. It's magnificent. I've just got my new crate. I can guarantee you it contains zero Salty Kiss. Zero. Rugby 20 is the code. Go on there, sign up. You will not be disappointed. I certainly wasn't. In fact, I'm going to have a craft ale tonight.
Are you going to have one tonight?
I am.
You psychopath.
I am, yeah.
I'm not going anywhere near a craft ale for at least a few days.
So, yes. So, thank you all. Thank you all for listening. Find us at Rugby Podcast, me at Jay Beardmore. Tim is at Cocker. And if you are kind enough, we often ask you to leave us a hashtag. Why don't you leave us a iTunes review? Yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, no, a good iTunes review.
Good iTunes review.
Yeah, yeah. Not a bad one. So until next week, or until later on in the week when you might hear Tim, see you later.
Thanks, JB.
Bye, Phil.
Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.